We have a text here from Austin Bechtold. In all, all that we did to that poor young man there, and here's the text I got. Good morning, Crowley. Cooperstown, not Canton. He just wants us to be talking about him.
Yes.
He doesn't care what we say.
Nope.
As long as his name is being breathed into the microphones on these airwaves, he's happy. All right, Aaron Rodgers talking yesterday. He had a lot to say. There's a bunch of Rodgers stuff that I'd love to comb over and react to with you today, Doran, but he talked about preseason football and the value there.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting conversation. I think Mike and I will have that at some point. I don't think it's in the plan for me to play this week, but whatever Mike wants to do, I'm fully on board. If he wants me to go out there and play, I'll play. If not, then I won't. I've said a lot, you know, with all due respect, then I can say whatever I want. Preseason football is not necessarily real football because the defenses just don't do a whole lot. And the offenses don't either. So you go out there with a very limited playbook against the defenses playing one-high zone, one-high man, or two-high zone. And there's not much pressure. There's oftentimes communication between the coaches about, hey, we're not going to pressure this week, or, hey, we need to see a little bit of pressure. It's really about the operation. Now, that is where you can actually gain something from the preseason is you got 40 seconds, right? There's a play clock out here, but it's not always adhered to. So you have 40 seconds to call the play, to get the line of scrimmage, to get us in the right situation, and to go out and do it. I think there's something to be gained for that. But as opposed to kind of when I got in the league, I would say, there's less schematic stuff that you're going to see in the regular season.
So Aaron Rodgers saying that for a guy who's 41 years old, who has played 21 years now of professional football, you don't get much out of the preseason. He did at the end there say, yeah, there's some value when you get up to the line of scrimmage and you got the clock going and you're identifying things and blah, blah, blah. But for a guy who's been around, he ain't getting much. Plus, oh yeah, he can get hit. And you said yesterday, you can get all the goodies from the preseason, 1v1, good v good, all that stuff in the joint practice. And guess what? You're not getting hit if you're Aaron Rodgers. So here's the question, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Doran, because you know, for a guy like him, you don't need preseason. There are a lot of guys where preseason is valuable. Guys who are trying to make the roster, and Mike Tomlin would probably be the last man standing if it ever came down to, do you ban the preseason and add an extra regular season game or whatever? I think Mike Tomlin would die on the hill of, we need preseason football. So it's different for every guy. But would fans miss preseason? 412-928-9370. We'll take calls. We'll talk about that coming up in a few minutes. But Doran, the value of preseason for some and not for others, what do you make of all that?
It's a huge value for the back end of the rosters. Guys like myself, I needed those games. I needed to get film. I needed to get reps with, you know, in that offense, but also get put good stuff on film just in case that I would get released and wanted to get picked up somewhere else. So preseason is valuable for that back end of the roster, the guys that are trying to make roster spots, as you just said. I don't know if you need three games, maybe two games, zero starters, just have the backups and guys trying to make the teams just playing those two games. But it is valuable to the fact that there are guys that still can make rosters and need to put good stuff on film. And to your next question, where will fans miss preseason? All you have to do is alter it. All you have to do is do the joint practices and make it open and put all the cameras there. I think fans would be more excited of watching one-on-one drills, watching team run drills, watching seven-shot drills, watching seven-on-seven, watching team drills against, you know, the Steelers against the Buccaneers than watching a preseason game. That's more interesting. It would be for me as a fan if you just put a camera at practice the whole entire time. You know, you do your red zone deal. ESPN can just, you know, manufacture it for NFL Network, things of that nature, and just have multiple screens of multiple practices going on. And you have the in-person, you know, people who can attend practices. But now you get to see how a practice is run, but also try to simulate going against another team.
I didn't think of that, which that happens a lot. Football guy, coxswain. I forgot that they even had a joint practice with Tampa that was upcoming. And it made a ton of sense when you talked about it. And then when Rodgers talked about it, I think people were probably going, hey, Doran said that like 9 hours ago on the Fan Morning Show. I do think if NFL Network or ESPN or ESPN's NFL Network, whatever the hell they're going to call it, if they did that, I think people would love it.
Yeah.
People consume the combine in this town. We've seen the ratings more than a Penguins hockey game. If the Penguins are playing the Washington Capitals or the Philadelphia Flyers, people soak up the NFL combine. Dudes running around in shorts, guys that ain't even Steelers yet. They watch it and they sit there, they drink beer and eat chips. You would get more good v. good than you would in the preseason games. Now, I heard Mike Florio yesterday with Mulsey on the PM team say that, think about it. It used to be 14 regular season games and then 6 preseason games. 6. They did 6 of these suckers.
Man.
And then it went to 16 games and 4 preseason games. Huh, interesting how that worked. And then it went 17 and 3. And Florio said, if the Players Association tomorrow said, let's go to 20 regular season games with 0 preseason games, that NFL owners and the commissioner, they would sign off on it in 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder where fans come down on the elimination of the preseason. I think what you have proposed would be something fans would be interested in. I think, though, fans want to go to the stadiums. I do think fans are used to watching the preseason games. August rolls around and it fills time, and then we talk about it. And I think that there would be fans that would miss it at 412-928-9370. And I just want to know where people come down on it. And you could text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And you can give us a ring in the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I would miss it. I would miss watching preseason football.
Then watching like an actual practice on TV, but it's, you know, two teams going against each other.
And I would want
to simulate all the different periods of practice.
I would want. It's tough for me because I've been there for that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I know what to expect, and it is enjoyable to watch, especially whenever you've been through 40 days, 40 nights just watching the Steelers hit the Steelers. Like, it is enjoyable, and you can glean a lot. Other people aren't as lucky. They haven't been able to watch these things, so I wonder where they'd come down on it. I prefer the game-like setting, stadium lights, the crowd, the play clock, the music, the terrible towels twirling, all that stupid crap.
So you would prefer that instead of watching, you would prefer watching, let's say, Corey Trice and Jaden McMillan in the second quarter while Jalen Ramsey and Mike Evans are on the sidelines with their hat on eating sunflower seeds, or would you rather see Jalen Ramsey and Mike Evans in practice going on one-on-ones?
No, you make a good argument.
Yeah.
Something that I hadn't thought of.
And you could control, too. So the product would essentially be better, because if I was a player in the NFLPA, like, I would probably be in favor of doing something like that, because you could control it. There would be less injuries that there are in like preseason games, because you're not going to the ground.
And quarterbacks would absolutely not get hit.
They would not get hit. You could control the practice. You could control the reps. You could control. And NFL coaches are on the same page when it comes to stuff like that. Like, you know, McDermott and Tomlin. Todd Bowles, Tomlin, like, they're going to be on the same page with how the practice structure is. Practice structures are the same across the whole entire board of the NFL. So, like, you could control certain situations, things of that nature, 2-minute things of that, and it's just thud. You're not getting anybody putting anybody in too much risk.
You would have handshake agreements beforehand.
Yeah.
You would to the nth degree have the whole damn thing mapped out.
Yes.
And you would have ground rules.
Yes.
And you would control everything that you could possibly control.
And it would be still highly competitive.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
I referenced the Bills joint practice with the Steelers from probably a decade ago now. That was really fun to watch. It really was. I mean, you got big-time players going up against big-time players, and I think people would be interested. And I think where this is ultimately going is a little column A, a little column B.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to have an 18-game schedule at some point soon. You're going to have 2 preseason games, and I think you'll probably have more joint practices, because the evaluation point of this whole thing is a big deal.
Yes.
It's a massive deal. And so you can't just take preseason games away – and not do the joint practice thing.
Right.
You can't, it's not college football where you're just going to play nobody until you play somebody and hey, it's everybody's guess. They wouldn't do that in the NFL. These are professional football players. So I do think it would ultimately be a little column A, a little column B.
Yeah, you would get to bang for your buck, in my opinion. You would get to see the stars. You get to see the big names. And with preseason, how it's structured now, like you might not see Aaron Rodgers at all. You might not see Aaron Rodgers the whole preseason. So you're going to have to wait, what, a month?
Yep.
To see Aaron Rodgers actually play in a game? If you did it, and I said this years ago, I mean, maybe like 8 years ago, I said this about going this route of joint practices. You're going to get the bang for your buck. So you're going to get the DK Metcalfs going against the number one corner. You're going to get that all practice. So you get to see these guys against live-ish competition.
I wonder if guys like Tomlin would want the practices broadcast, because it is a little bit more intimate than a preseason game would be.
It doesn't have to be every practice, though. I mean,
right.
I mean, you're one practice. It's like a preseason game, but it's just one practice. Every Saturday, you got multiple screens, and you have an open practice where it's filmed, and you could close out the other practices. I mean, they're open to the public already.
That's true.
So,
and it is an intimate setting. You go to St. Vincent College, and you are sitting down there on the hill. You're going to hear some stuff that you wouldn't otherwise hear. Texter writes in, and you can obviously speak to this, Dorn. They didn't ask this as a question, though. They stated it as a fact, so I'm interested to hear your reply. You wouldn't have game speed with the same timing. Do you agree with that?
Good on good is game speed.
Right.
So the timing would be there. Good on good is always game speed. Like you're trying to tell me like you wouldn't have the actual game speed of Jalen Ramsey and Mike Evans? Like,
those guys would be going
hard. They'd be going at it, and there were going to be fights and stuff. Like, that's just, you know, people love that stuff.
And here's one that I do think makes sense from a texter. I'd miss the preseason in stadium setting because not everyone can get or afford regular season tickets.
That's a good point.
That is something that resonates with me. I took Nora last year to her first Steeler game. It was the first preseason game. We got to see Justin Fields run out there. If she wanted to go to a regular season game, A, that's going to cost an arm and a leg, and B, man, you're going to hear some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hear some stuff as a five-year-old.
Yeah.
That you're not going to hear at a preseason game. No one's screaming at Baker Mayfield obscenities during a preseason game.
It's true. That's true.
So let's take some calls on this. 412-928-9370. This isn't a hardcore topic or anything like that to start the show. We'll get into our hardcore, deep Steelers analysis over the course of this thing. But we want to hear from you at 412-928-9370. What would your reaction be if the NFL did away with the preseason? Rodgers spoke on that a little bit more. We'll let you hear from him coming up next. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.
Yes, I believe so, for the first team.
Because
teams are, especially most of the joint practices, I would say, you're not going to play that team in the regular season. So they're less worried about showing things that they want to work on. And even though there usually are cameras there and it's filmed, they're less skittish about running the stuff they've been running all camp that they're going to try and do in the regular season against another team that you're not going to play in the regular season. So I found those beneficial. As long as there's not a lot of fights, I think they're a good work day for the first team.
So Rodgers says you're going to do more stuff in those joint practices too. Instead of it just being up, running cover two every play, nobody's bringing blitzes or anything like that. They might actually do some stuff. Run some stunts and games, Dorn.
Well, it's also
joint practice.
If you do set it up where it's AFC, NFC, you know, you're not really worried about what the NFC's doing if you're an AFC team, obviously vice versa. So you are willing to run different things and explore different areas because you're not going to probably see that team. And if you do, it's not.
It's still going to be so far removed.
Right.
Yeah. It's not a conference game. Yeah. I stepped on you twice there. Sorry. Let's go to the phone lines at 412-928-9370. Austin, Bechtold, City Limits calling in. His thoughts on eliminating the preseason.
You know,
Austin, give me one word. Damn it.
Receiver.
Thank you, Austin. Appreciate it. All right, let's go to Hammer in Portview. How would you feel if they eliminated the preseason? What's up, Hammer?
Thanks for taking my call, guys. I'm all for doing away with the preseason. Just for the simple fact to me, it's just glorified exhibition. I feel the same way about preseason football as I do with All-Star Game, the Pro Bowl, and all that. It's just a money grab for the leagues. The players don't care about it. The fans, for the majority, don't care about it. I'm all for doing away with it.
Thank you, Hammer. Here's the thing that would suck. August would suck. We'd just be waiting around for the NFL season to kick off. We'd be waiting around for college football season to kick off. I need to watch. Here's what August needs to be for me to be happy. The occasional preseason football game, a little fantasy draft. It's like the amuse-bouche. And in this town, we're obviously a big-time pro sports town. So you get the amuse-bouche of the preseason. Then you get like week zero college football. And then you get college football. Those are like the appetizers. Then bang, you get the NFL after Labor Day.
Well, wouldn't essentially you would move it up? So you would be playing in August. You just play a regular season game in August if you add games?
I guess so. If you wind up with 18 games, you're probably going to be playing that first week into the college football season.
Yeah, why not move it up instead of moving it back in February?
Although that raises a good question. When do we need football more? Do we need it in August just because we're used to it? Or do we extend football season deeper into winter so we can avoid our seasonal depression woes?
I don't know. That's a good question.
But maybe a little column A, a little column B.
A little bit of both. But I think player-wise, I think that if you kind of alter it, and I think Doug Whaley brought this up, you know, you make OTAs 2 weeks before the season starts. So you actually start OTAs after 4th of July and then go right into training camp. And then you have the games moved up in August. Then it would be a longer offseason for the players.
Yeah.
And I think the product might be better. I don't know.
You could still do all the same stuff. OTAs, mini camp, training camp, combine, all the things the NFL loves, but you'd smush it all closer together and you'd have one continuous football season.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many ways you can do it with this. And then in the summer, like, you can make football still relevant. Like, I would move the combine to more of where the draft is at.
Closer to the draft.
Closer to the draft.
And you could do that, too, if you would extend the season. Like, you could play the Super Bowl later on in February.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
We're fixing football today on the show at 412-928-9370. Katie in Monroeville, hi.
Hey, thank you so much, sirs, for having me on the show. I called in with a comment and a question. Comment, I do completely agree with Jens about like reducing the preseason. I think it should be reduced down to one game only, just to give them like one practice round to get the feels of it for the second and third strings. And then the second game onward would be a regular 19-game season.
Man.
My question to you guys is, how viable would it be? Let's say the Steelers play a Thursday night game. What if the NFL did a block schedule? There are games Thursdays through Mondays. And if the Steelers play, let's say, on a Thursday night game, they would play, let's say, first week against AFC. They would play 8 days later against the NFC, and that which would be a Friday. And then they would play 8 days again against the AFC back and forth every Thursday through Monday. Because, like, I don't know about Jens, but sometimes I struggle in even seeing some of the games. So if they were to spread them out a little more, I think they would be able to get more fans into watch more of the game.
Thank you, Katie. Appreciate the call. It's well thought out. Made my brain hurt.
Very well thought out. I think the NFL makes it a point, I could be very wrong, to let Fridays be high school football. I honestly think that.
You only ever get Black Friday.
Right.
Or depending on what day Christmas falls.
And high school football is basically done.
Yes. They don't schedule on Fridays. No. And that was a big talking point when the Big Ten started playing all these Friday games. People were ticked off about that. I do think the almighty dollar will trump that eventually.
I agree.
I think we're going to get 18 games. And I think that the end goal is eventually one day down the road, you're playing 20 games. And I would think you're probably going to be playing on Thursday, Friday every week. They already play on Thursdays every week. I think you're probably going to get some Saturday primetime games every week.
Yep.
And it's all about inventory.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
I don't know how I feel about the eventuality of getting to 19, 20 games. Part of me says you water down the meaning of the regular season. You've already added an extra playoff team in each conference. Now every game means just that much less. But at the same time, hey, you want to have sex? Yeah. Do you want to have more sex? No one ever says no.
No one ever says no. More football, right?
Oh, do you want more buffalo chicken dip? This thing that you love? Well, it's going to lose its meaning the more I have. No, it doesn't. It's just this good thing I like, and you give me more of it. I've always wrestled with this.
Well, how could you not water it down by adding games? Like, how could you kind of counter what the watered down product would be if you add more games? Like, that's what they're going to have to look at.
I think you would have to
lessen the playoff teams.
Yeah, but they're not going to do that either.
Right. There has to be a way where it's not as watered down. You're still getting the same. You're still trying to reach the same point.
I thought that it might water it down a little bit more with the added playoff team. I guess I'll speak out of both sides of my mouth here. I thought it would water it down with the extra playoff team and the extra game. And I don't know, it really hasn't all that much. I'm still getting used to like predictions, 10-7 instead of 10-6 or 11-6 right, instead of 11-5. But what happens is now more teams are in it because there's the extra playoff spot. And so when you get to December, it's more meaningful for more fan bases. And that's what Major League Baseball's done. But I think the pain associated as a fan with one loss now, it's not quite as much as it used to be. Like, okay, Steelers lost to the Browns last year. That sucked, and we spent a whole week just killing them for it. But a 16-game schedule with one less playoff team, boy, would that have been an even bigger deal.
Big, big deal.
And you're seeing it in college football now with the expanded playoff. Penn State and Oregon are going to play this year. It's going to be one of the games of the year. Loser's still going to make the playoffs, folks. Folks, forgot the S. 412-928-9370. Aaron Rodgers yesterday after practice, or I guess it was before practice, was asked about how his relationship's going with Arthur Smith. It's a good answer. We'll get into that coming up next. Mike Tomlin also asked about Aaron Rodgers and his love of the game. His answer, if you're a Nimrod, might surprise you. Seconds before the mics came on, Doran says it's Sidney Crosby's birthday.
Yep.
He is 38 years old today.
Yes, he is.
No athlete has ever brought me more joy than Sidney Crosby, Doran.
Uh-huh.
God bless Sidney Crosby. I hope he plays until he's 45. I think he can.
He probably can.
Man, he's still so good.
Uh-huh.
And
it's tough this year, though.
It's going to be tough. They are going to suck. I think their forward group, not that we need to like dive into hardcore analysis, I think their forward group's actually pretty decent. They need to trade Rust or Raquel or both if they want to have a bottom five pick. And they should absolutely want to have a bottom five pick because Penn State superstar, or soon to be Penn State superstar, Gavin McKenna, could be waiting. You want to talk about flipping that franchise over? Can you imagine? Let's talk about this hypothetical briefly. Lemieux and Burkle buy the team back. They stink. Gavin McKenna, number one overall pick next year. We're back in business.
You still have Crosby.
And you still got Sid.
Yep.
At 39 years old. And if he's great at 38, why wouldn't he be good at 39?
Yep. You'll have him for at least 3 years. Mm-hmm. At least. Be perfect. Passing the torch again.
Oh. Maybe he could live with him. Gavin McKenna takes a space in Crosby's house like he used to live with Lemieux.
Could live with Lemieux. In this hypothetical.
That's true. Lemieux, an empty nester these days,
probably
wants a youngster running around that he can mold into becoming one of the great hockey players of all time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Aaron Rodgers yesterday before practice was asked how things are going with Arthur Smith. It's a good answer here.
It's really the relationship with Arthur. You know, to have a guy that we sat yesterday for like 2.5 hours, you know, just talking ball. And it's not all like X's and O's. It's storytelling from time to time, but he's not a rigid guy at all. You know, so anything that ideas that I have or ideas that, you know, some of the receivers are giving to me to give to him, you know, everything is taken into consideration, which I really appreciate. And we're installing it. I mean, the last few days we've installed stuff that I've gone back and looked at from the past, or other guys have had, you know, similar ideas, because we have a little open forum in my room. Anytime you want to come in and suggest something or get on the same page about something, let me know, because I'll take it right to heart. But I'm just really enjoying him a lot as a person, and just the way he leads in front of the room, and it's been a lot of fun so far.
Interesting. And Arthur Smith has echoed all of those sentiments. He had a one-on-one conversation, a really good one, with Jeff Hathorn the other day. Arthur Smith seems to really enjoy working with Aaron Rodgers, which is weird because I thought Rodgers was a jackass.
Right.
I also thought Rodgers didn't like football. Tomlin was on with CBS yesterday. He said this.
His love affair with the game of football.
Huh.
You know, from the outside, you see it, you know it. Particularly when you're in this business like I am, you know what it looks like, what it smells like. But to be around him every day and see the genuine joy that he has doing mundane things, the love affair that he has with the game of football, man, is contagious.
Doran, Tomlin can smell the love of football.
I get to.
On Aaron Rodgers.
I get it. I get exactly what he's saying.
And it's contagious.
Mm-hmm.
So Rodgers is stinky and contagious.
Yes.
His love affair of the game.
Yep. Yes, it is.
It's the reason I wanted to play those. Is because Rodgers loves Smith. Smith loves Rodgers. Tomlin says Rodgers loves football, despite people thinking he loves things like pyramids more than football. And all this is happening at Steelers camp. Two sound bites came out yesterday. Jordan Love said that Rodgers was the biggest badass he ever played with. And Rodgers was a mentor to Jordan Love. And Devontae Smith, he said yesterday, he hopes Rodgers proves the critics wrong. He said, quote, I can't stand no more of that. He's tired of the narrative that Rodgers is washed. So you got two former teammates.
Devontae Adams.
What did I say?
Smith.
Damn it. Devontae Adams, thank you. Important correction. You've got two of Rodgers' former teammates who love the guy. You've got the head coach who loves, that Rodgers loves football. And you've got Arthur Smith who loves Aaron Rodgers and Rodgers who loves Arthur Smith. I just want to make note of these things. Because the reason why a lot of Steelers fans didn't want Rodgers here is because he was going to come in and be a toxic teammate.
Yeah,
because
that's what they heard.
Mm-hmm.
They heard that.
Where's from that?
From who? Like, I mean, Ryan Clark, now he's changing his stripes too. Ryan Clark was at Steelers training camp. I mean, he was crushing Rodgers for a month, 2 months. Goes to Steelers training camp. Oh, I had PTSD. Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Rodgers is washed, right? Until you go see him in person and he's slinging the thing around. And Rodgers also said yesterday, and we'll get to this later on in the show, that the offense has come a long way these last four games,
yes.
These last four practices.
Yep.
And Jeff's been there, and we'll talk to Jeff at 7:35. Caboli's been there. Everyone's echoing that the offense is taking a little bit of a turn here. Juan Thornhill says this could be the greatest defense of all time, and the offense has been playing well these last four practices. That's a good sign. So I'm not trying to take a victory lap as a show. Hey, we told you Rodgers ain't that big of a jackass. Like, his teammates seeming loved him. You were ahead of this. You were out ahead of this before anybody else was. Like, where are all his teammates saying this guy sucks? Or is it just the media? Well, his teammates here seem to love him. And they haven't faced adversity yet, which, okay, that's important. Like, if they start 0-3, maybe things shift. But this guy was supposed to come in and be a poison pill, and he's been anything but. I think it's important to note.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Rodgers was in here and he's yelling at dudes in practice and
bad body language.
Yes.
And, you know, doing things his way, being, you know, separate from the team and, you know, making a stink about having to share a room in training camp, things of that nature. Okay. But like, no, he's falling right in line.
He actually seemed to like it.
Right. He wants to win. He wants to go out a winner personally. And he also wants to win for this franchise. He respects the game of football. And as Mike Tomlin said, you could smell it. Like, that is a real thing. Like, can't you smell football? Like, can't you smell that Pat Bostic loves football whenever he walks in here?
Yes.
Like, you could smell it. Like, he loves it. He's all about it. He's always in. Like, there's a difference from guys, and especially the greats. They love football, and you have to love football in order to be great.
And I think that Russ loved football, but Russ, he's an AI simulation of a quarterback. I think what I've heard just reading the tea leaves, listening to how guys talk about Rodgers, I think there's an authenticity with Aaron that people love. And it's not, I don't think it has anything to do with the political beliefs or anything like that. I don't think guys care. I don't think guys care, and you would speak to this better than I do. I don't think guys care about anything else than, are you a good teammate, and do you give us a good chance to win? And I think he comes in there, and the guys love him because he's real, he's straight with you. He's, I'm sure, shooting the you-know-what with Arthur Smith in a way that Russell Wilson couldn't. I think that probably helped lead to the demise of the Steelers last year. I don't know that Arthur Smith, who you've said is as real as it gets,
well,
he had a real conversation with Russ.
Right. It's like talking to a machine, a robot. Aaron Rodgers is unapologetically himself.
Yes.
And Russell Wilson was trying to be something and trying to put a front on. Like, guys can see through that at that level. Like,
sure.
You know, you could see right through that.
It's yeah.
Like, you ain't, you know.
I could see rah-rah Russ being really a popular teammate in college and that kind of being a big deal.
I think
deal
his
then.
Mindset changed whenever he married Sierra. I'm going to go out there and say it. I think that everything changed. I think he probably was, like, real back in college in his first couple years in the NFL. And then the whole, like, stardom of Sierra probably opened his eyes like, oh, I got to act a certain way.
Yeah.
That's my
cameras theory. In their face all the time. He's got that big entourage. She's got that big entourage. Definitely. And I do think the actual human relationship between the offensive coordinator and the quarterback matters.
Matters so much.
Ben and Bruce Arians, they're still great friends to this day, as I understand it. Ben and Ken Whisenhunt, it wasn't a great relationship. And Whisenhunt went and he was a great offensive coordinator here. But Ben really flourished under Bruce Arians. I think that matters. You need to be like, we can do a good show and not get along. You can't do a great show if you don't get along.
Absolutely right.
You need to have that friendship.
Absolutely right. You have to think the same. You have to think the same, but you can also disagree, but also get back to what you need to do.
Right. We could have creative differences on the show, but you can hug it out at the end of the day.
Right.
It's That's not important. Personal. Right. Exactly.
We're all trying to go to the same place here.
Yes.
So we have the same goals in mind. Now we may think differently, but we're still trying to get to the same place. That's what you have to have as an offensive coordinator and a quarterback, and just in business and life and what we do especially. Like, it's not personal, but I think differently, you think this way, let's come to a compromise and let's get to where we're trying to go to.
Exactly right. I think that's going to serve the Steelers well, because someone texts in and I think this is a fair point to make. Be careful. You're taking a victory lap about practice, not a game. Practice, I'll wait till the game start to believe in the kumbaya. Fair enough. But if you've built this friendship and you have an understanding as men, when the rubber meets the road like it did at the end of last season with Russ and Arthur Smith, it went to hell in a handbasket. Mm-hmm. If you've got this great working relationship and you do face adversity, that's only going to aid you in trying to reach that ultimate goal.
And especially if you've done it before, it's not like a new relationship. You know, whenever you get in that new relationship, you know, with a woman, or if you're a woman with a man, it's like, oh, it's like the honeymoon stage. Everything's great. And you have somebody that has been through it, that's married, an older person tell you, just wait till your first fight and then come back and talk to
them. Yeah.
That's a little bit different than having two people who have done it before. And Aaron Rodgers has been in relationships before. He understands there isn't a honeymoon phase. There's a good phase, and then there's that phase where, all right, I'm anticipating adversity. Let's see how this works. But you understand that you're going to work through it because you've been through that before.
Yeah.
It's not like a new relationship.
Sure. There's going to be the football equivalent of Rodgers not taking the trash out. There's going to be a squabble.
Right.
And if you build that foundation, you're going to get through it.
Exactly. You're living together.
Exactly.
Nowhere to go.
I'm optimistic, man. I mean, we've talked about Rodgers, the player. Not the GM, not the offensive coordinator, not the personnel guy that he had to be with the New York Jets. As a player, we've been confident. And then he comes in, he's getting along great with everybody. I think it's a big deal. And it's a big deal because it was supposed to be the opposite.
It's supposed not to be, yes.
Right. If there wasn't all this talk beforehand, then I wouldn't be making a big deal about it. We wouldn't be making a big deal about it. People wouldn't be asking about it now. But it was a big deal until he got here. 412-928-9370. Your Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. NFLPA and the NFL had to announce a correction on something yesterday. We'll get to that coming up next. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Pat Bostic going to join us at 7 o'clock. Juan Thornhill says this Steelers defense could be the greatest defense of all time. Fan Morning Show Twitter polls brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Can a defense with Juan Thornhill be the best defense of all time? That'll be the Twitter poll. We'll get into that. 08 defense was pretty damn good.
Yep.
I think one of the best of all time. Sometimes underrated, actually. List came out this offseason. They weren't among the top 10 defenses of all time. I think that's poppycock. I think that's nonsense. I think it's ridiculous. Thank you. So let's compare and contrast, shall we?
Sure.
We could do that coming up next.
You hit us with the poppycock. You haven't even said that in a while.
You got to pick your spots for the poppycock.
Mm-hmm.
You also have to be very careful when you say poppycock.
Yes.
which is why I hit the speed bump on the highway just there. You know what could help me? Some smelling salts. The NFLPA issued a statement yesterday saying, don't worry, players. Teams will no longer provide these smelling salts, but the players can bring them themselves. Now, this was rumored 2 days ago, but the players can bring their own supply. You can get high on your own supply, Doran.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Good. George Kittle's happy.
And Baker Mayfield was talking to Kay Adams, and he was really upset about this. He said he uses it for every drive.
Every drive?
Every drive.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And he threw 40 touchdowns. Whatever's working, yeah, huh? Whatever. Maybe he wasn't sniffing the smelling salt so much back in Cleveland.
Mm.
I asked Bostic to bring some in. He never replied, so I wonder if he'll do that for us today. We got the Pitt film crew coming in here. Maybe they want to watch us all do some smelling salts before the 8 o'clock segment.
I should actually text the film crew.
Greg Daniels, they'll be down there.
They'll be down there to grab some. I'll probably do that.
Now I'm getting cold feet. I don't want to do them. Could it hurt me?
No.
All right. Coming up next, we'll hear from Juan Thornhill. Everybody's got high praise of the Steelers' defense. Everybody on that side of the ball, the offense has been talking about. Mike Tomlin talking about the defense being able to lock down any team in the league. Let's get into that in depth coming up next. Pat Bostic going to join the show. Fan Weather's brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions.